Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Blizzard Watch podcast. We talk about Blizzard Entertainment and its many games, and sometimes we talk about other companies' games as well, and or other things. But usually we try to keep it locked in on the stuff that you come here for. I'm Matt. I am the host. With me this week, as is usually the case, are my fantastic co-hosts, Liz Harper, the EIC of the site, and Joe Perez, the looming ombudsman goblin of the site.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm trying to come up with a good title for you, and I don't think looming ombudsman goblin was quite what I wanted, but it kind of conveys the way you are constantly like our big brother, which is weird because I'm older. Anyway, how you all doing? Liz is going to have a few words about the site, and we're going to have her do that right now because we want to make sure that we get you all to hear it, and then we can talk about other things. So, Liz?
As long-term followers of the site know, we've always been supported by Patreon since we started Blizzard Watch way, way back when. We are going to be 9 years old next month, so just think of that and kind of crumble into dust. It doesn't feel like it's been that long. But anyway, you probably know that we kind of had a financial crisis last year. Our ad provider kind of melted down on us and we were just not doing well. And we asked y'all to help us on Patreon and you came through with, you know, enough Patreon support to keep the site running. I mean, we're running at a lower scale than we were last year, but we're doing good and we're covering our costs mostly from Patreon. We did switch to a new ad provider late last year, and we were really hopeful to get a better ad provider, which would help provide some of that support from the site, so it's not 100% on Patreon. The new ad provider is not working out great for us right now. As an example, we've made $20 on advertising so far this month, which is kind of not much. So we're probably going to be switching advertisers again soon, I hope, to try out, see if we can get some better ads, some gaming ads, and just something that can kind of help support the site more than this does. But so you may see some different ads on the site. We may be continuing to play around with our ad formatting. I know there is a bug right now where you sometimes see two identical ads stacked right on top of each other. We're working on that. We're working to fix that. We're not trying to completely fill your screen with ads. And also, I'm sure you have noticed there are ads on the podcast now, and those are doing great. The podcast is actually financially supporting itself for the first time ever in the history of Blizzard Watch or WoW Insider before it, which I know it kind of sucks to have ads on the podcast, but this does allow the podcast to kind of stand on its own and support itself, which is great. It helps us do podcasts. It helps us do more podcasts. If Matt and Joe wanted to do more podcasts, if we could find a schedule where we could do more podcasts, which is always the challenge. So that's pretty much it. I wanted to give y'all an update on the state of the site. Patreon is doing great. It's fallen off a little since we did our pledge drive, but we kind of expect that. Your continued support is, of course, what lets us make all of this content, and we're still working to bring it to you. So thank you very much. If you see ads on the site that are bad, not working for you, please tell us. If you can support us on Patreon, we really appreciate it. It helps keep us going, and thanks for being here, folks. That's all I got.
Thank you very much, Liz. Why did I stop talking there? I'm sorry.
It wasn't time yet.
No, it wasn't even that. I wasn't even thinking to do that. I was like, thank you very much, Liz. And then dead silence. Yeah, what happened to my head?
As listeners at home can tell, we're still working on figuring out where and how to place ad breaks in our crazy madcap discussions here. Yeah,
and it doesn't help when the guy who's kind of emceeing this shindig just stops talking and stares at his computer for like 5 seconds.
You know, it's okay.
We've been there.
We've all been there.
But let's, what we'll do now is we will move through some news. We might have to take a break in the middle, but we'll see. We'll go through some news right now. There's a fair amount. Oh, you want to take the break now?
I was going to say, or because of the timing, we can do it right now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So yeah, we got actually quite a bit to talk about, although some of it was stuff that happened last week. And while we normally would have missed it, we actually ended up running late last week. So we did kind of talk about some of this stuff already. So we might just throw out quick mentions and then move on. For example, the one that I'm most interested in mentioning right now is the Diablo 4 Season 3 announcement. Diablo 4 Season 3 was announced, I think, today, like the actual, what the season was.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. You said that, and I was like, Diablo 3? Why are we talking about Diablo? Okay. Yeah.
No, it's... The problem with having numbers after the names of games that you're still, you know, you end up with...
And it's like, yeah. I'm constantly getting Diablo 3 and Diablo 4 mixed up, because it's Diablo 3 Season 30, and it's Diablo 4 Season 3, and it's... Diablo 4 Season 3 starts next week.
Yeah, it's the 23rd of January. Yep.
Yes, that seems so soon. But and here we are.
They finally announced what it was going to be. We knew from a while that it was the season of orange text, and that was their what they called it in one of their live streams. And basically, it was something vaguely Egyptian themed. Now we know it's Kedjistan. So Kedjistan is kind of the world's stand-in for both Egypt and the Middle East. And it is going to be about the creatures and robots created by Zoltan Kool. We're going down into the underground beneath Kedjistan to find the vaults of Zoltan Kool, where these robots have been left to, I guess, molder for so long that a demon has found them. And this demon is going to use them to destroy everything unless we go and whack him repeatedly with sharp things, bludgeoning things, fiery things, being a bear, what have you. What have you got? You got an army of skeletons? Throw an army of skeletons at him. There's going to be a lot of that. It's an interesting season because we're getting our own pet robot.
That's really, you're talking about Zoltan Kool and
yeah.
The deserts of Kajistan. And I'm just like, pet robot. Yeah, that's all you need to know about this season. You get a pet robot.
I feel bad for warlocks who are really heavily into the whole army of the dead thing. Because now you got to manage a robot too. But, you know, I guess it's less of a managing thing and more of just follows you around and shoots whatever you're fighting and is generally... I wish that I could edit sound files in Diablo just so I could have the robot saying Bender things. I'm Bender! One time I drove a guy in the ground with like a tent pole with a shovel. Yes, yes, very nice. But regardless, yeah, robot. Diablo 4, Season 3, Season of the Construct, you get your own robot. And you fight demons to keep them from getting their own robots, because they're going to use the robots to kill everybody, which is pretty standard. I mean, I think this is, you know, it's a little out there for a Diablo season, but I think in a way that's good, because we just had two seasons in a row that were basically like just even demonier demons and then vampires. So I think actually having just weird robots from the desert, it's a nice palate cleanser. It's a nice way to move past, you know, the vampires and demons who are like worse, like cancer demons. And then we'll come back to them. Yeah, obviously.
I mean, I don't know how much control you're going to have over your new robot friend, but you can, you know, customize them. We were talking about in the pre-show about game progression systems, and this is kind of a new progression system. You get your robot, and then you kind of like socket it with stones, and each stone has its unique powers, and kind of customize it that way. You customize your new robot buddy to be exactly what you want.
And also, I wanted to mention this because this is interesting. This is the first time I think they've actually done this for Diablo 4. There's a new adventure hub, essentially, like a new kind of capital city that's underground in Khajistan. It's the place where you will be going to, like, you know, repair and rest up and do stuff with your inventory and turn gear into better gear and so forth. And it's like right there. It's actually like just above the vaults. If you played Diablo 2, I'm wondering if it's going to be the same place. Because there was a place that one of the clones of Zoltan Kul used in Diablo 2. Not Diablo 2. Why are you saying Diablo 2?
Diablo
Immortal. No, Diablo Immortal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In Diablo Immortal, Zoltan Kul had a clone who was running like a weird little underground magic place with robots and so forth. And I'm wondering if they're going to connect it. I don't think it's the same place. I don't think the place was called Gate Hall. But I think there could be a connection there, and I'm interested to see if they do anything with it. One of the things they haven't done very much with Diablo games is connect that kind of thing. They've connected things in terms of references and so forth, but it's very rare that you fight something that is, you know, coming from one game to the other. I think Diablo 2 was the first time that they brought back an actual boss from a previous game, or at least somebody who'd been in the previous game becomes a boss, like Blood Raven, for example, who was actually the rogue from Diablo 1, the original Diablo. So yeah, I am interested in this. We already know that for Liz, it's the robots. Joe, anything in particular about this interesting to you?
Nope, not really.
Oh, that's a shame. but yeah, I'm also a big fan of Zoltan Kul, so you know that's great. Like I've said a million times, he never lies to your character in Diablo 3, not once. Guy literally never tells you a lie. He's quite upfront about being a monomaniacal lunatic, but he never ever lies. But there's also some stuff in here I think we should mention really fast. We're getting Hell Tides as persistent. There's going to be like a 5-minute rest once per hour. Otherwise, it's all Hell Tide whenever the Hell Tide is. It's just constantly.
I think in season 2 we kind of got used to that with the I'm blanking on the names, the vampire zones.
Yeah, I don't know what to call it either. I just know that you go there and there's vampires everywhere.
Yes, it's this is the current zone that is full of vampires, and it rotates every hour. And you always have one of those running. So you could be out there killing vampires, and this vampire zone would wrap up, and it would move to another vampire zone. Blood harvests, that's what they are. So we've kind of gotten used to always having an event around, and there are currently still some pretty big gaps between Helltides. So this will give you something to do, you know, just all the time. You'll always have a Helltide up. You'll always have some challenging, different content to go and run if that's what you want to do.
And it's Helltides are very, you know, pick up and go friendly.
Yeah.
You can go do them until you're tired and then just stop. You don't have to like get to the end of them. They just keep going until you're done and stop, or they'll end on their own and you'll be done then. And you can then go to another one, or you can be done. You'd be like, okay, yeah, I'm done. In addition to that, though, we're getting an additional stash tab, which I think is good. Quite frankly, I'm kind of low on stash tabs, so I think another one is good. WASD movement is coming. You don't have to map it anymore. It's just built in now. It's just baseline.
That's actually really nice.
And they're going to have a new respec mode, which is going to let you have build updates. You can just push a button essentially and boom, you'll get you'll have to do it once, obviously, but you can do it and then save it. And then you can change between respecs pretty easily. So
I think that's huge.
This is like the first time in a while a Diablo game is stolen from World of Warcraft. And quite frankly, I'm here for it. This was a good move.
I mean, one of the problems, you go, Joe.
I was gonna say, we talk about it a lot, right? Like, some of the best features from World of Warcraft were stolen from Diablo, like transmog.
Yeah.
And it's fine to borrow systems that work, and this is a system that works, right? It's something that we really enjoy, we use all the time, and why not move it into Diablo, where players will probably enjoy it and use it all the time?
Well, I mean, look at, you know, in terms of games, I don't think anyone would argue that the Spider-Man games that Sony put out borrow a lot from the Arkham games. And that's fine. It's good. It works. They're more energetic than the Arkham version because he's Spider-Man and not Batman. So he doesn't plod around and smash people with car doors. I'm not all that. I think Spider-Man actually looks really good. But you know, stuff that is just a concept is fine. And especially when it's your own company, so you don't even have to worry about that. We know we're getting a dev update live stream. We're getting it on the 18th, which is 2 days as we're recording this. As you're listening to it, it could literally have been the day you're listening to it, or it could have been the day before. But regardless, we're going to get more information from that live stream as well. Go ahead, Liz.
And we should be getting full patch notes on the 19th. Yeah. One feature that I want to add to your list is that we're finally getting leaderboards to the game.
Yeah,
so
that's correct.
Yeah, leaderboards are coming with a feature that really sounds to me like challenge rifts. I mean, this kind of sounds exactly like challenge rifts.
It certainly has very challenge rift energy. I don't know if it's actually going to be rifts, but yeah, that definitely was that sense.
It's something called the Gauntlet, which is a weekly rotating fixed dungeon that you have to complete to, you know, aim for the, I believe, the best time to get a top spot on the leaderboards, which will be memorialized in various ways.
Yeah, it feels a little bit like the set dungeons that they had in D3, but not obviously not about a piece of tier or anything. It's just similar in that regard, that it's except it rotates, which those didn't. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it does feel like something it's actually interesting to me how much stuff has continually come out for Diablo 4. Over the past year, because it's been out now for like what, 8 months?
Yeah, give or take.
June to like January. That's like 8-9 months. So yeah, that's interesting to me. You were saying something, Liz. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I was just talking the date.
So yeah, the date for the dev update, January 18th. The full patch notes, January 19th, and the actual update itself goes live. The new season goes live on January 23rd. So yeah, all within the scope of a week. By the time we get up to the next podcast, at least two of these things will have already happened.
So much going on. So much.
Yep. So that's the Diablo 4 stuff. Now Matthew can find his email again instead of looking at a list of patch notes. Dragonflight, which is the current WoW expansion. In case you don't know that, I don't know how you managed to not know that and you're watching the show. I mean, we talk about it a fair amount. But patch 10.2.5 is today. Wasn't it called? It's got a name, and every time I hear it, I forget it.
Seeds of Renewal.
Seeds of Renewal,
Now live.
Yes, that is literally live as we're recording this. That's cool. I am happy for it. It's got dragon riding everywhere now, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I haven't got to do that yet. I want to. I totally forgot that was a thing until you said it.
the Azerothian Archives event, we've got that. That's basically kind of like doing archaeology without the actual archaeology profession system.
It's a world event, and it kind of has an archaeology-ish theme where you're learning more about the Dragon Isles, and of course you can get cosmetic rewards. So, I mean, it's yet another world event. But it has a unique, interesting theme and some cosmetics you can pick up.
Yeah, well, there's also the going back to Gilneas quest lines where you can help the Gilneans reclaim their homeland. Or if you're Liz, just be mad at them. I found out last week Liz doesn't like Gilneas, and I was like, the vapors!
It's Gilneas is fine. I mean, it's okay. I think it has bad leadership that led to its downfall, but...
I think the part where the Horde invaded and, you know, you sprayed poison everywhere probably helped. I mean, you guys...
Okay.
You guys... I feel like you guys contributed. You contributed to the thing.
Yeah, but what about before that?
I'm going further back about the Greymane Wall and saying, we're just gonna nope out of this war. It's no problem. We're gonna build a big wall and
we'll
hide.
We'll support the Alliance. Scourge. Here's one unit.
The Scourge and the Undead, that'll never bother us. We'll just live behind our wall. Everything's good and fine.
Yeah,
let's talk about that.
Let's talk about how they said, we're not going to deal with the Undead, and then the Undead came back.
Well, to be fair, they didn't actually know about the Undead when they built the wall. The Undead weren't there yet.
No, but they were beseeched for help when it was happening, and were told no.
Yeah, well, that's fair. I'm not saying Gen Greymane's a nice dude. I am just saying it's understandable that he might have had a grudge, considering didn't he lose like his other kid? Oh, never mind. No, I'm sorry. That was the Admiral.
That was the Admiral. He didn't. Yeah, he didn't lose his son until the
Forsaken came. Until Shyvana shot him in the chest. Yeah. So again, back and forth, lots of bad leadership. But regardless, if you actually care, if you're interested, you will get to go, and Horde can do it too. In the spirit of conciliation, Horde and Alliance are working together, sorta, to help free Gilneas.
I am going to go check it out. I want to know what happens. I mean, I'm curious as to what's the next step of the storyline for the Gilneans, because we've just let that sit for so long. It's just the Gilneans kind of moved to Stormwind and they've just been sitting there for, you know, a couple of days.
Well, yeah, because they moved to a tree, then that tree ceased to exist, okay, and then they had to move to Stormwind.
I mean, there was a brief question about if they were going to move to the new tree, but they were like, no, we're not doing trees again.
We just want to go home. Yeah. That's not the last thing. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm curious where the story is going. Are we tying this up? Are we going to unlock a new story element? Where are we going from here? That's what I'm curious about, less than actually wanting to see Ghen Greymane be king of a people and a land again.
Yeah, but I honestly, where we're talking about it, I'm interested to see, like, we know Calia Menethil is involved from the Horde side. I'm interested to see what that means. Like, what's the deal? Are they actually going to try to have some sort of friendly relationships?
Well, it would make sense. It would make
Forsaken and Gilneas.
Yeah, it would make sense, though, for Calia, because, one, she is the closest tie to the alliance that the, you know, Forsaken have. But also, she is all about mending bridges. Like, that's a huge thing. So, like, this is a way for potentially her character to start maybe not making the Forsaken atone, but for, you know, mending that bridge a little bit and, you know, trying to keep the current Forsaken from being murdered on site.
Yeah, it's an interesting path to see moving forward. But we should also mention Bellameth is going to be explorable as a new Night Elf city.
Yep.
It's there now. You can go and check it out. I think it's weird that they're kind of like putting the Night Elf city, it's underneath Amirdrasil this time. It's not on top of it, which was a good move, but I still think it's weird that it and Amirdrasil are on the Dragon Isles. And it keeps reminding me of those dragon riding elves that we met if the Draenei starting zone all those years ago, and nothing has ever been said about those guys since.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they're all dead, but I still feel like, you know, it's an interesting connection between the elves and the dragons. They've moved from made a pact with the dragons to get immortality to now they're just living underneath the tree in the Dragon Isles. It's interesting to me. I don't know where we're going with it. Bellameth is gorgeous. Amirdrasil is gorgeous. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that, just to walk around and hear all the various conversations that are going on. And the fact that both the Horde and the Alliance have, you know, elves there. It's not just, you know, the Night Elves. It's sort of like a elf hangout.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about this on Lore Watch at some point, because there's story elements with the cinemas now in the epilogue that kind of deal with that a little bit, too. So I'm very excited to see where that moves forward as well.
But the last thing we should mention before we move on to other things is the follower dungeons.
Now, I would love to talk about this, but before we do that, so have either of you had a chance to try this yet?
I did it in the PTR at one point.
Okay.
But at the time I did it in the PTR, I tried tanking and healing them. And healing wasn't too awful. Tank was a little robot-y, but not too horrible. But tanking it was a nightmare. Like, I did not enjoy tanking it. I don't know what it's like now. It's been at least a month and a half since the last time I did it.
So I was actually able to do one before showing up for the podcast. I was relatively impressed with how smoothly it went. But I did do it as a DPS. I didn't do it as a tank or a healer yet. I will try that just to see how it goes. But I do like the idea that you have a toggle that you can basically have it set so that the NPCs will either follow your lead or you tell them to go and do it and you can let them take the lead. And there are things that I noticed, which was pretty clever. It's not perfect. There are obviously a lot of stuff that is problematic, but they do respond to pings. So if you're in control and you ping stuff with the new ping system, they will focus stuff. If the healing NPC is low on mana, the tank will sit and wait for the healer to get mana back before proceeding to the next pull.
That is wildly unrealistic.
I know. I also tested if it would pick up mobs that were pulled accidentally, or if it would be something that, you know, if you were pulling real fast, if the tank would pick up the adds. and the tank picked up the ads really quick. Like, I was just firebolting random mobs and Ruby life pools, and the tank was like, nope, you're coming here. Come here. Like, grabbing everything, making sure that, like, you did not die. And again, it's not perfect. There are still problems that I'm sure that they're working out because it is AI, or essentially program behavior at this point. But I'm relatively impressed with it. Like, the idea that it could be 1 o'clock in the morning, I could be wanting to run a dungeon, and if I don't have anybody or don't want to go in the random queue at that late, I can just go follower dungeon. But yeah, it's a really neat feature.
I'm hoping that when I do get a chance to play it, I will have more of an opinion of it as it is now and not as it was back in testing. I just haven't really gotten a chance to, partially because for some reason, the most recent patch, when it downloaded, didn't download properly. And so now I have to reinstall WoW.
Which
is one of those things where I won't be logging in for like a week. But when I get that done, at least Diablo 4 patched properly. And so I'm okay there. It's one of those situations where the game tried to save it in the wrong place and it didn't fill up properly. Essentially, I did not have space for it. So I've adjusted things. I should be good to go now. WoW really needs to stop having patches that big. Anyway, what else do we have to talk about? We've mentioned the dev live stream. A couple of things that I think we don't really have much to say about at the time, but we should mention that they exist.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Both Diablo 3 Season 30 and Wrath of the Lich King Classics Phase 5, both of them are now live. They went live last week. So if you're playing those games, you can go. Diablo 3 Season 30 actually has a pretty extensive set of patch notes. They've changed.
It's a crazy one. It's crazy.
Just in addition to stuff like, you know, the Altar of Rites and the Wailing Essence stuff. What's that called? The Wailing Portals? Or is that what it's called? Or Nightmare Portals? I can't even remember what it's called. My God, so many different portals. The
Diabolical Fissures. Lead you into visions of enmity?
I think that's not that. That's the one before. I think this is, but whatever. Point being, that's there too. In addition to all that, there are actually some class balance changes. Some abilities got buffed. I know Demon Hunters had one ability get nerfed, and my wife was very mad about it, but I don't remember which one it was. But regardless, there's a lot of changes, a lot of different patch notes. So if you are going to play Diablo 3 Season 30, you should at least go check those patch notes out so you know what you're getting into before you jump in. And for Wrath of the Lich King Classic... Oh, sorry, Liz is talking.
It's just so much going on in Diablo 3. If you enjoy that more fast-paced, colorful combat, now is a great time to jump in and play some Diablo 3.
Yep, it's good time because, you know, we won't get the new season in Diablo 4 till next week, so you have a couple of days.
A whole week.
But Wrath of the Lich King Classic with Phase 5, that basically just means that Ruby Sanctum is open. Mm-hmm. It's not a huge phase, but I think it's interesting that it's there. We know that Cataclysm Classic is on the drawing boards right now. It is likely going to come this year. I don't know exactly when because they haven't said, but this is the jumping on point, so to speak. It's the narrative element that hooks us into what's coming later. I don't know if they're going to do like the event like they did for Cataclysm on live servers. Like, do you remember that? Is that part of this phase or is that coming at a later date? The one where you have to go and fight various elementals in various places? No,
that's definitely not in Phase 5. They're going to have, I believe, a pre-patch that's going to bring that with it.
Yeah, so that's still on the drawing board to anticipate as well. So we mentioned the D4 dev live stream, so we don't have to mention that again. We should mention, because Liz is the one who told me this, I thought the Grim Campfire was this week on the 18th, but it's been pushed back to the 23rd.
Yeah, they changed it. The grim campfire Twitch drop for WoW was supposed to start this week with the rollout of patch 10.2.5, but they have pushed it back to next week. So that will start on the 23rd. So if you want like a creepy campfire full of skulls, who wouldn't?
Watch from WoW on Twitch, yeah.
But don't watch it this week. Well, you can watch it this week. You just won't.
That's up to you. Campfire.
Yeah. Watch it next week.
For the I actually think campfire. They did this because AGDQ is this week, or GDQ is this week.
Hmm.
Because it was
done quickly, yeah.
It's right smack dab in the middle, and it's going to pull everybody away on Twitch. So
yeah,
moving the Twitch drop makes the most sense and gives the most amount of people the amount of time to do both. So
you just imagine a bunch of people in an office watching a dog do a stream and saying to themselves, guys, we can't beat the game streaming dog. We got to push it back.
Do you honestly think they could? Because I don't think they could.
No, I am telling you, I think that that's what they did. I'm not kidding. Because you know darn well they were watching the game streaming dog.
Oh, absolutely.
So therefore, they would know. Oh, yeah, there's no way. We just push it back.
For those of you who were not listening to us in the pre-show in AGDQ today, there was a Shiba Inu playing a video game, speed running a video game. So, yeah.
I mean, we're all interested now. You're sitting there going, wait a minute, I don't want to listen to these people talk anymore. Where is this dog?
The dog is named Peanut Butter, and he's a very good boy.
Of course he is. They're all good dogs, Brent. But in addition to that, there's also some Amazon Prime stuff. The Death's Burden for Diablo 4 thing is basically till January 18th. That's the one with the mount and the various accessories. That's 2 days from now as we're recording, and probably it's over by the time you hear this if you're hearing it recorded. Overwatch 2's 5-tier skip, that's also ending on January 18th, so same thing. If you're listening to us live, you still have a couple days. If you are not, it's going away probably right as you're listening to us, or in the past already. It's already happened. Both of those, again, these are Amazon Prime. They're not Twitch drops. All you have to do is hook up your account to these games so you can get the bundles. Go ahead.
And if you miss this one, don't worry. This seems to be a pretty normal cycle, especially for like the tier skips and things like that. There seems to always be a Diablo 4 bundle. The fact that Blizzard is participating in it is just really nice. You just get a couple extra things for linking your account up and clicking a few buttons.
Yeah. Hearthstone card packs are basically going away on the 17th, which is tomorrow as we're recording. Definitely going to be in the past by the time you hear this. So I'm sorry if you're listening to this recorded, you didn't get your Hearthstone pack. But they're going to probably have another one very soon. I mean, they do Hearthstone promotions pretty regularly. As for the one thing that is more time sensitive, in my opinion, because I don't think it'll be coming back, the Swift Wild Windsteed mount is from WoW. It's originally a Mists of Pandaria mount, if I'm not insane.
Yeah, it was a shop mount from there, I think.
And that one is up till January 30th. So you can go there right now, and you'll be able to go there next week, and you'll be able to go right up to the 30th of January to get yourself this Swift Windsteed mount, which, again, just requires you to link your account. At this point, though, I think that's all the stories we have. So, Liz, you sent in more, but I'm pretty sure we covered them. We might not have covered all of them, though.
So there is one tiny thing, which is the Outland World Cup. The Outland Dragon Races are starting on the 18th. So if you want to do more dragon racing, collect some more transmog with some new racetracks, that starts this week.
And you can see dragon riding in Outland, which I think is going to be pretty cool.
Also, before we move on, did we talk about the Pepe costumes?
We didn't really talk about them because we talked about them last week.
About them last week.
Did we? Okay.
I mean, you can talk about them again because I know there is part of this that you were probably enthusiastic about.
I'm just happy that I can make him look like a Tuskar with that beautiful little mustache. My boy, my boy's going to be so dapper. He gets to be a Tuskar. He gets to be a Tuskar before I do.
Well, you could always wear a costume, I suppose.
I mean, who says I'm not?
Well, I always just assumed that was your natural, natural skin color and so forth. Actually, come to think of it, that'd be a great cosplay.
I have actually considered this. Before we get into the questions and stuff like that, this is literally a conversation I had with somebody about how easy it would be to make that costume with my body type. And it is something I have heavily considered.
I take that idea and the fact that I kind of have a Wilford Brimley-esque vibe anyway. I could definitely be a Tuskar who's just Wilford Brimley as a Tuskar.
You do realize that if we ever go to a convention together, this is what we're going to do, right, Matt?
Yeah, I figured. We might end up doing it as a two-headed ogre, though.
Oh, 100%.
Anyway, welcome to Things We Think. Now we should move on to doing some of those there questions that Joe mentioned. I should, as is usually the case, if you've got a question for the show, you can contact us in a variety of ways. If you're a Patreon supporter, and if you are, thank you, we love you. You can use the Patreon Q and Podcast Questions channel on our Discord and ask questions there. People weren't particularly questioning this week, but you know, hopefully you'll get curious again. I have hope. If you're not a patron, we do still love you. You can go to the Q and Podcast Questions channel for non-patrons, and you can leave a question there as well. We take them from there as well. We just go to the Patreon one first because, you know, as we've pointed out, y'all are basically keeping the site going, and we're very happy about that. So, however, if you'd rather email us, you can do that too. We actually got a couple questions from email this week. That's send an email to podcast@blizzardwatch.com with the subject line, podcast or Blizzard Watch, so we know it's for this show, or I could steal it. Sometimes I do that. I just steal it. If we don't have enough questions and I'm like, oh, that one's close enough, I'll
steal it. It's true. 100%.
Joe will eventually catch me and make me go back to Arkham Asylum, but it's a rotating door. I can get out anytime I want. So, yeah, I'm going to read some of these because I can do that this week. And so, greetings, sages of multiversal tinfoil hats. Zarax, he gave us a pronunciation guide, and that's really nice of you. Thank you, Zarax. Night Elf Druid from too long ago to remember what realm. Like all of you, time is turning me into dust. I was listening to the podcast for sometimes in the last 30-ish days, again, time, when things were off the rails at the end. Sentient Sword, Pee-wee's Playhouse, Beauty and the Beast, etc. At the very end, a comic book was mentioned offhand. Comic books were mentioned offhand, and it sparked a thought. What WoW characters would you put into superhero identities in a realm where Azeroth merges with Marvel / DC universes? For example, Anduin is Spider-Man, Gul'dan is the Joker, etc. Hoping this warps, twists, entertains your brains as it did mine. Love the podcasts and live plays. You are all amazing. Thank you, Zarax. So, Liz, Joe, go.
First of all, Anduin is not Spider-Man. Anduin is more like Captain America. He's all about that hope, and he's, you know, stalwart, and he's got the defense down, and he's all about me standing in the way and standing up to bullies, and that's more his. If we're going to go with Spider-Man-esque, we're going with Zappy Boy, because he's young and impressionable and has a ton of more power than he realizes.
I mean, has Anduin sagged into his Winter Soldier days, though? I mean, we've kind of had, after the Jailer, we're kind of on a low point. We haven't seen much of him, though, so well, we don't entirely know what he's up to.
Funny you should mention that, because Matthias Shaw happens to be around in patch 10.2.5, maybe telling us a little bit about what's going on as he's tracking Anduin's travel through the world. Just saying.
I would say it's less the Winter Soldier, and it's more the Nomad or the Captain eras of Captain America, where he decides I can't be Captain America anymore, so I'll be a guy who throws discs at people, and then later he's like, oh, I can be Captain America. Oh, they've taken the Captain America identity away from me. I'm going to just be a guy in a black version of my Captain America costume. And I'll just call myself the Captain, and everybody will just know it's me anyway, because it's the exact same voice, exact same face, basically the exact same costume. And everyone's like, do we have to just call you the Captain? Like, you just call me Cap. What difference does it make? Oh, yeah, you're right. Just go hit people with your shield. When guy who is not Captain America throws his mighty shield at it. So that's I'm going right there. But also I'm going to say, Anduin's absolutely not Captain America.
No.
That's ludicrous. Anduin is Speedball.
For very dark reasons.
Right down to the tragedy or So yeah, Anduin is Speedball. Don't know who Speedball is, look that up.
We can go villain route. Azshara is absolutely Doctor Doom. That is a hill I will die on, because the smartest person in the room, always scheming, incredibly powerful, more powerful than anybody else can possibly imagine. which I've been on a Dr. Doom kick lately, like reading Dr. Doom comics and stuff that involves him. And the sheer gravitas of that character over the last 10 years has shifted from megalomaniac to, no, he's not a megalomaniac. He does have a healthy self-importance, but he's royalty and he's doing this for a purpose and reason. Like, I literally just read the comic where he bested Reed in a duel and Reed's like, well, I guess I have to give you that boon you asked for. But if you ask me to do anything nefarious, I'm going to. And then he stops him and says, no, I need you to be my second. You're going to be my best man at my wedding. Now get up. And it's just like, wait, you dueled me just to get me to be your best man? Of course, I'm Doom. And then he walks away. Like, that's Azshara through and through. That's 100% something she would do. Sorry.
No, that's fine. Liz, you got any others?
I really don't.
All right, well, I'll give you a few. There's this, the ones that are just gimmies. Thrall is Superman.
Yeah.
He is from another world. The world was destroyed. He lost his parents, although he lost his parents in a different way. He was raised by the opposite of kindly humans, but, you know, that's still kind of there. There were kindly humans involved in his upbringing. He found out about his heritage and decided to use his abilities to help others. And his name is Goel.
Yeah.
Superman's name is Kal-El.
Yeah.
They're practically cousins.
Yeah.
I would, if I was ever doing a WoW DC crossover, I'd literally have Superman and Thrall in the corner talking and be like, Goel, huh? Yeah. In Kryptonian, that means Earth Child. Well, I am a child of the world.
Mechatork is Iron Man.
Yeah.
Quite literally now.
Yeah.
Being kept alive by a thing in his chest. He's Iron Man. He's Tony Stark.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you, except that he's much nicer. I mean, I would much rather hang out with
Mechatork. Yeah.
Not that Tony Stark is actually a bad person. I think the interesting thing about Tony Stark is that he is a good person morally. He's just extremely off-putting. Like, he's arrogant and condescending and just...
And like with any superhero, I mean, one of the interesting things about some of these superheroes who have had such long comic runs is their personalities can change sometimes pretty drastically depending on who's writing them.
Yep.
You can get very different shades of the same character just depending on, you know, what you happen to be reading that day. So
absolutely.
There's a lot of range there.
But I mean, we could just keep doing this all day, but there are other questions to get through. So I do love this question. That's why I grabbed it. And
perhaps if we have time to schedule another podcast, we could explore things like this in more further in depth.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But next up, I'm going to read this one because it's an old friend of the show. Hey, y'all, it's me again, your girl, Korn. Got a question for the podcast, and it's a spicy one, I think. Are romanceable characters in video games a good idea? And if so, how should the romances work? I often think back to my Dragon Age days and how I basically just threw presents at Morgan until she was my bae. But in Cyberpunk, I had to work my butt off to romance Judy. Just so many quests. And in terms of MMOs, Star Wars The Old Republic actually did romanceable companions. And I thought the approach was a lot better than, say, DA. But I thought that it was somewhat lifted from Mass Effect. So what do you guys think? Are romanceable characters good? Is the fact that I hate Asterion so very much spoiling them for me in Baldur's Gate 3? And should Diablo 4 have them? Peace, love, blood, and skulls, Korn.
I love you, Korn. Never change. honestly, if... And I've said this before, the Blizzard IPs seem like where they are, romanceable companions wouldn't really fit. However... And I've made this claim before, if you were to give me a dating sim based off of WoW characters or Blizzard IP characters, I'd be 110% in. I've already played the heck out of Boyfriend Dungeon. If you give me Boyfriend Dungeon WoW flavored, I'm in. Like, this is, let's go. But yeah, like, it's tricky to do romanceable companions well. Like, the Old Republic probably is the one that I would say is the best. It really truly was. In Baldur's Gate 3, and Matt and I talked about this a little bit, everybody just kind of throws themselves at you. You don't really have to do a whole lot. So it doesn't really feel earned. And in Mass Effect, you do, like, you earn it as well.
The dog is done hearing this conversation.
Sorry about that. Mass Effect does it well, but again, you have to earn it. So, yeah.
Liz?
I mean, the thing is, I love romances in video games. I love that. The thing about them is they bring up so many character moments. They bring out a lot of story. I mean, a romance is inherently a very personal narrative where you're learning a lot about different characters. I think they're a really fun thing in video games. I don't think Warcraft is a good setting for that, or at least not World of Warcraft. Like Joe said, you need a different kind of environment for that thing. Warcraft just isn't, you know, it's not quite set up for it. I think that's one of those things you need to think about when you are developing the game in the first place. It needs to be part of the game's DNA. And, I mean, Warcraft can do some really great character and character moments. I think they've done some very beautiful, you know, character development with some of these characters. I think my favorite moments in World of Warcraft are always when we're not fighting big, horrible bad guys, but we kind of have these small character moments off to the side. Or, I mean, sometimes large character moments, like Talanji with her dying father. That was a really big story element, but that's also just kind of this very tender, kind of quiet moment that's not in the middle of the action. So I think Warcraft can do great, really interesting things with characters. I could also say it usually doesn't. It usually, like, it usually veers off into the big action moments, you know?
Yeah, action adventure movie sequences more than anything else.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So it feels like it's a little hard to fit romance in. But, you know, a Warcraft dating sim, I would play it. I really enjoy those kind of games. I think you could definitely do it.
What I'm hearing is bring back Heroes of the Storm, but make it a dating sim.
Yes.
That's what I'm hearing.
Give it to me. Right into my veins. I'm ready. Beam me up, Scotty.
I would play it.
Day one purchase. Not even, no hesitation.
For me, I would say that romances in video games tend to be something I'm either hot or cold for, depending on the game. Hmm. Like, one of my favorite games with romances in it is another BioWare game, but it's one that didn't get mentioned, and I don't think most people knew had them. It's Jade Empire.
Yeah.
And Jade Empire romances, they're very much about, do you and this person see eye to eye? Do you agree about the proper course of action? And it's, yes, you have your childhood friend and the spoiled princess who turns out to actually secretly be a vigilante fighting for the people. But it's about, do you have similar mindsets? Are you willing to, like, and not the same mindset either. There's like interesting parts where you're like, there's one person you romance who's got like a kid, and you know that they're focused on their child. Their child is important. It's part of their life. So you kind of have to be on board with that, or it's just not going to happen. And I like that about Jade Empire. I think it's one of the better ones for it. But a lot of games, like, for instance, I'm really glad. I think one of the biggest mistakes that the Assassin's Creed Odyssey made was putting a romance in. Mm. And especially when the romance was gender constructed. So you had to romance. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're a woman, you had to romance a dude. And if you're a dude, you had to romance a woman. I know. And the whole reason they did it was just so the character could have a child. And it's like, you know, you could have had her having a child be something that was off screen. We never had to see it. We didn't necessarily need it to be a game thing.
Mm-hmm.
It could have absolutely just been something that you could have dropped in the next game. Like, the one with the staff had, you know, bore a child and boom, we're done. Don't need to know any more about it. And so I got why they did it, but I thought it was one of the bigger missteps in a game that I otherwise absolutely loved. And I didn't think that the romance option was story destroying or anything. I just found it a little irritating. I would have been happy with something as simple as having your character say, look, we're not in love. I'm just having a kid because I want to have a child and you're available. That's it. And we will not be dating. I will not be your girlfriend. But even then, why even bother? Why even do it? It's not necessary. But when it works, like, and I'll say this for Baldur's Gate 3, Joe is totally on the money. People fall in love with you very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little disturbing when I am playing the Dark Urge.
Oh, you cast a spell. I don't care that you've murdered 72 gnomes. Let's weave together.
Gail, you are like 10, not Alistair, Anders. You're like 10 Anders from Dragon Age.
Oh, 100%.
You are like just so horny on mage. It's weird, man. Back it up. But at the same time, Carlac, I love the romance subplot with Carlac, especially since Carlac herself is such an interesting and vibrant character.
Yeah, that room then like that was really well written and really well executed.
Yeah, but it is. I think that, you know, there are games where I think it's good to not have it.
Not every game needs it. And there was a period of time where they were shoehorning it into a lot of games for seemingly no reason.
I'll even say this. One of my favorite games is Greedfall. And Greedfall has romance options, and they shouldn't. They're just none of them are worth it. There's one character who's worth romancing. And it's like, if you don't romance that person, then there's no point to romancing anybody in Greedfall. And yes, that's a game where you could have just completely cut that out, and it would have been great. Fallout 4's romance options. Huh? Like, why would we even care about this? Aren't we in an apocalyptic nuclear wasteland?
Well, not only that, but you're in a post-apocalyptic nuclear wasteland mourning the death of your significant other, which you, even though it was years ago, you just woke up. It was like 5 minutes ago while you're searching for your kidnapped kid. Like, by the way, hey, that's really cool reporting you did there. You want to go like on that out back where that like slightly less soiled, you know, bed is? Because like Fallout 4 romance makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, it just shouldn't be there. So yeah, I think we're all in agreement that they can be really great storytelling hooks if the story is set up for them. Even just available to them. But sometimes it's like, man, this is not it, Chief. This was not the way to go.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Yeah.
But at the same time, sometimes you, like, we had BioWare with Anthem come out, and one of the things was, oh, yeah, we're not doing romances this game.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Is this some sort of
girly game with romances? And it's like, what?
BioWare.
Romance is why I played all of your games this far.
BioWare, so you don't have the right to make that one, BioWare. Other companies do, but you can't make that one because you're the one that put romances in Jade Empire. You know, once you put a romance in Jade Empire, come on. There were romances in your Knights of the Old Republic and Knights of the Old Republic 2. You have romances in all of them. And pretty much for those games, it worked. I still say that one of the better romances in any game is the Jack romance in Mass Effect.
Oh, yes.
It's watching the effect on Jack. It's just really, and it's, I don't know. Just my point is, I think we're still in this. Do you think we get time for one more?
Yeah. Because we went a little long on the pre-show.
Okay, let's. I says go with Tetsami here. Question for the queue. I stole it from his queue questions because it looked interesting. What MMO would you make single player? And conversely, what single player game would you make an MMO?
So I'm going to have a controversial one.
Go for it.
Final Fantasy 14 is the best single player game that I have played in a very long time.
Better than Baldur's Gate 3?
Yes, in some regards, and no in others. Baldur's Gate 3 is a RPG player like party experience. Final Fantasy 14 is a single player RPG experience that is written like a Final Fantasy game, done really well, just happens to also be an MMO. But I have literally played that game partying with nobody for a long time, and I don't miss it. Like, I don't, the MMO aspect of it, the MMO aspect that I get out of it is literally sitting in the main city with a guitar and a MIDI pedal playing music on my bard. Like, that's what I get the MMO experience. I don't party with anybody or do anything else. So that's my hot take. And I'm not saying that Final Fantasy 14 is a bad game. I just think it's has a really good single player game inside of it as well.
And Jess, you're just doing that, or are you also doing the Averse?
As far as single player game that I would make an MMO, it's going to be Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh,
because
that would be really interesting.
That I would love to explore that world with a group of people, right? Like, it's one of those things where having a party of people scavenging together, trying to survive, making their way through it instead of just being Aloy, not that I have any problem with that, I think would be a ton of fun. Those are my two picks. What about you guys?
Liz?
Well, I mean, I think there's an obvious answer to an MMO you would make a single player game, and I'm going to say Diablo 4, which they do not market as an MMO, but is very much an MMO. It's a giant, shared, persistent world, and I think it doesn't always serve the game very well. Because part of the interesting thing in Sanctuary is there's this sense of isolation, the sense of the odds are always against you. You're beset on all sides by demons. You can only, you know, you can only look after yourself. It's a very harsh world. And it feels different when you're in town and there are like 100 other epic heroes standing beside you. And I mean, they do shard things off, and, you know, the players in different difficulty levels, there are different, you know, groups of players. They separate that out, but it still feels like when the game is crowded, it just feels off. It feels off-putting. So I don't, man, it's weird because I've always thought Diablo, I'd love to do a big multiplayer Diablo, but Diablo 4 doesn't feel like it serves the game very well. Though sometimes you go out in the world and you run into another player and you kill demons together, and that's really fun. But sometimes it just feels like, okay, we're a bunch of players, you know, destroying the world. What's the problem?
There's a game that released recently. Sorry, not to interrupt, but like it was an ARPG Diablo style, but it was also done with an MMO. And I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, and I'm kicking myself because I remember it being a ton of fun. And it proved that that type of setting would work well with it because it was essentially just WoW in isometric form, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and it works fine. Like, I really love that idea, Liz. I would love to see Diablo as an actual MMO. Like,
yeah, with like, you know, real MMO style content, real group content, because Diablo 4 straddles this weird space where it is completely soloable. You can solo everything. I mean, I've even seen some people soloing the world bosses, but, you know, it would be a fun world to be able to go in and it's like, okay, yeah, I need a raid full of people coordinating to kill this boss instead of like, okay, I'm going to go and just run in and there'll be some other people there and we'll probably kill it. No big deal. Kind of LFR level, grouping. So I would like it if it were more of an intense MMO experience, more of a traditional MMO experience. And we sort of get that in Diablo Immortal, but Diablo Immortal has a different set of problems. So, yeah.
And the inverse, or do you not have one?
I can't think of one.
All right. I would like, the one I'm thinking about, well, first of all, I have to mention this. This is a news thing you'll need to know to understand what I'm talking about. This month, I think on the 4th of January, NCSoft gave the City of Heroes Homecoming servers a license to host the game. It's now official. City of Heroes Homecoming was a pirate server version of the City of Heroes MMO, and now it is not. Now it is an officially licensed version.
I'm so happy.
And that means it's time for a City of Heroes single player game. Like by single player, I mean a single player, but I don't mean a single player by themselves. I mean Guardians of the Galaxy style game, where you've basically got this group of people, maybe you switch between them, and you explore a story set in that universe. I think it would be an amazing thing to do with City of Heroes. I think it was one of the biggest problems I have with City of Heroes was that there was never enough time to get to see the whole place. Plus, it was set in Rhode Island, and City of Villains was literally called, it was on Rogue's Island. So that was like, you know, absolutely it was Rhode Island because Rhode Island is itself an evil place. And I'm from there and I'm an evil person. It's fine. We're all evil. Don't trust us. We have Cthulhuoid monsters in our heads. But regardless, City of Heroes, absolutely would love to see a single-player City of Heroes game. There's been a lot of good superhero games. There's been a lot of bad superhero games. I think City of Heroes would be one of the ones that could be a really good one, and I would like to see that. In terms of a single-player game that I would like to see as an MMO, honestly, and it's kind of bending the definition, but if we're going to talk Blizzard here, I would have loved to have seen a StarCraft MMO.
Yeah. Oh, 100%, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
we thought we were going to get one at one point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you're calling StarCraft a single player game is really accurate, but you know, it does have multiplayer elements, but it's not. I'm talking an actual MMO set in the various worlds, you know, of the Copperloo sector, where you get to play as, you know, Terran or Protoss or Zerg, and to a certain degree, that's one where, if you keep them true to their roots, their constant antipathy makes a lot more sense than the Horde and Alliance. The Horde and Alliance, at some point, you're like, well, how many times have we come together for the fate of Azeroth? It doesn't make sense that we keep fighting. But there's never been a StarCraft story. Even when they team up against the Zelnaga, it's extremely reluctantly, and they're planning to betray each other during. Sometimes they actually do kill each other before they even finish with the thing they're trying to do together. Like when Kerrigan kills Mengsk, you know, and it's like, we're not done. No, no, we still have to deal with this Zelnaga. And she's like, I'm killing him now. I am not waiting another second to kill this guy. So, yeah, I think StarCraft would be a really great M. I think it would really work. And that's the one. That's my vote.
Only if I can play as an Ultralisk.
Yeah, I think that should be something you should be able to do. Maybe maybe the weird thing to think about is do you try to preserve the units of StarCraft, and if so, how?
Yeah, I don't think you can, right? Like, it'd have to, because it's an interesting proposition.
Yeah, I don't think you'd make the playable things all be the units. I think you'd have to have, like, some things are basically considered vehicles, even if it is the Ultralisk. But you could get an Ultralisk and use it in combat. There's a lot to think about. But regardless, StarCraft is my answer. I think that pretty much wraps it up. Well, there's one more question. It's from Corey. And, you know, we all love Corey. He works here, so he's our friend. Do we want to talk about how cold it is, though? I don't feel like we need to talk about that.
It's too fresh. It's too fresh, and I have to go outside after we're done with this podcast. So, sorry, Corey. No.
It is. I will say this much, though, Corey. In World of Warcraft, whenever I would go in Warlords of Draenor, when I would go to the Frostfire Mountains, and it was cold out here in Edmonton, I would feel the cold so intensely. Like, I actually got uncomfortable going there just being like, okay, it's not actually cold in your room. I know it's cold on the screen, and I know the snow is outside, but it's not actually cold in this room. Stop shivering. So, yeah, I got you.
Absolutely.
All right. Do we need another pause?
Nope.
Then you get to do the thing you do, Joe.
Well, friends, Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch. Your continued support means that this podcast site and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, a better chance at having your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ads-free site experience.
Thank you very much, Joe. Thanks to both Joe and Liz for being here and co-hosting and otherwise making this a fun show that we do. And thanks to all of you for being here as well, because if not, it's not a show. It's just us talking, and we like doing that, but it's not the same thing.
Well, you mean you don't just randomly break out into an announcer voice in your house when you're by yourself?
Well, I do, but that's nothing to do with it. I do lots of things that are fine on the podcast that I probably shouldn't do in real life, like argue with my wife about her character being nerfed. anyway, This has been the Blizzard Watch podcast. If you have a question for the podcast, you can send it to us at podcast@blizzardwatch.com with the subject line podcast of Blizzard Watch, or you can go to our Discord server. If you're a patron, we love you. And you can go to our Patreon Q and podcast questions channel to ask us many, many questions. And if you are not a patron, we still love you. And you can go to our Q and podcast questions for non-patrons and ask your questions there. Thank you guys for that too. It really helps us immensely. It helps with interaction. We really like to banter back and forth with you guys in that way. But this has been the Blizzard Watch podcast. Thank you guys all so much. And we'll be back next week.